got a new car and a big old payment to go with it, right? You know, if you come to church, you maybe get two or three things. You come to church, you get to go to church. And maybe you get a good message, and maybe you get a good nap in there too, maybe the third thing, you know. But I'm going to talk about 38 things today. I wasn't kidding. 38 things that happen when you get saved, all right? And it's you know, if you all have heard, you know, oh, this happens, that happens, this happens. But there's actually, you know, actually the one song we sang, the first one, whatever number that was, 468. But that was a good song because it goes into a lot more that probably I won't even cover here in the 38 things. All right? So let's open in a word of prayer to begin. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time we can have together. And I thank you for your truths, Lord, just that we can have these things and know it for sure. And these things happen to us, Lord, when we get saved. And Lord, it's good to kind of be reminded of it every so often, just to be assured and just to have this peace, Lord. And we pray now that you'd be with us and be with the Hoffmans over in Australia and Heidi and the boys and just keep them all safe. And just, Lord, we pray now that your word would be glorified, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So these 38 things that happen, the first part I'm going to go into is in relation to God the Father, all right? God the Father. We have access to God's grace. I'm going to be going over probably 60-some verses, so I'm not going to ask you to like follow along in the Bible, but there's a couple of places where I'm going to ask you to turn to eventually. But we have access to God's grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Ephesians 2:18, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." This happened at the moment you got saved. At the moment you got saved, that happened. I'm going to move these along real fast. We'll probably be out of here at a quarter to. All right. So the second thing is, we are adopted. So we have access to God's grace, but we are adopted into the family of God as God's sons. Galatians 4:5 says, "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And Ephesians 1:5, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." You know, the moment you get saved, you're adopted as God's son. That's the second thing. I remember Jeremy Lawson up here talking about it because it was real to him. It really happened to him. Most of you might remember that. He was adopted. And he became a son, and it's like, you know, it's even legally more stringent than if a natural born child or whatever. But, you know, once we are saved, you're adopted into the family of God as God's son. We have an inheritance. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Colossians 3:24, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." So the world kind of almost always, it seems like, always fights over inheritance. Okay, you know, somebody passes away and there's an inheritance to be had, and there's a fight over it all, and it's a pretty sad thing. But with God the Father, we have an inheritance, and you know what? There's plenty to go around. There's plenty. God has plenty of stuff, and it's not like you're going to miss out, because once you are saved, you have the inheritance from God. There's more than enough to go around. Number four, we are elected. Okay, chosen. And boy, oh boy, I know the Dutch church. I was at the Dutch church before. I mean, I was members of that forever when I was growing up. And boy, they get mixed up on this whole elected thing. But you know what? We are elected. Ephesians 1 through 4. And that's only people who believe in Jesus Christ are elect. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." And in 1 Peter 1:2 it says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." Well, I remember Kim's Aunt Ida. You know, she kept saying, "Hey, Aunt," and we'd say, "Aunt Ida, when were you saved?" "Oh, I was saved from before the foundations of the world." I've heard that, and not just from her, but from others. No, that's not what that whole elect is about. But we are elect. When you are saved, you are elect. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the moment you get saved, you are elect, and you're bound for heaven. The fifth thing is we become a child of God. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." You know, that's just another wonderful thing of the many that we get from salvation. We also get heavenly citizenship. Ephesians 2:19 says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." You know, many people want dual citizenship. That guy that was just here, Joel and his wife, one's a that's even pretty funny. One's a citizen of one country and one's a citizen of another country, and they're both citizens of America too. But you know what? Forget all those countries. Forget all the other citizenships. I want this verse. But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We can become that type. I want that heavenly citizenship. Seventh thing is we become an heir of God. Galatians 3:29, "And if ye be Christ's," that if ye be Christ, "then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So there's an if and a then there, and we need to pay attention to those ifs and a then, because if you aren't saved, you are not part of Abraham's seed. "And then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Romans 8:17 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." So we are also become an heir of God. But we also become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," and again, "if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Galatians 6:15, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." It does not say here that, you know what, after you get saved and, you know, after you've proved for 6 months that, you know, you can do this and you're not going to mess up and, you know, or maybe, you know what, you're on probation, Peterson. You know, I've been on probation numerous times. You know, the police probation, this probation. You know what? God doesn't have that. The moment you're saved, you're a new creature. Some of us don't know quite how to handle that, but we are. The ninth thing is we become a servant of God. 1 Peter 2:9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." 11th thing is, we are reconciled to God. We are reconciled to God. Romans 5:10. "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." We will be reconciled to God. Ephesians 2:13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." So the 11th thing is we are reconciled to God, but we are also sanctified. You know, you wouldn't even know that there's so many different words that we could be. Rectified, sanctified, All these heir, new creature, servant, priest, but each one of these is backed up by a verse in the Bible. Each one of these is multiple verses over and over again. And I think God wants us to know this. God wants us to understand this. God wants us to just go home and understand, you know what? I'm not worried about my salvation. I have this. I have this. I have all of these things. He wants to give us that. So we are also sanctified. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Acts 26:18, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So these first sections here were those that were toward God the Father. And now I'm going to talk about in relation to God the Son. God the Son. The next one is, we are accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted in to Jesus Christ. But it also, and the 14th thing is, we are baptized into Christ's body. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You know, and again, here, I know Dave's gone over this, you know, most all of us know this, there's no water involved here. This isn't talking about baptism. Again, the Dutch church, you know, sprinkle, sprinkle, you're saved, whatever. You know, this isn't even talking about water. There's no, there is no water baptism mentioned within the eight chapters either way of this verse here. And there is no connection to the baptisms of 1 Corinthians 12, which we're going to go into later, or the baptisms of Acts 2:38. So we need to remember that, this baptized into Christ. You know, sometimes they say, you know, baptized with fire, you know, baptized with fire, you know, and some people believe that, you know, everything about baptism is about water. You know, well, if I'm being baptized with fire, feel free to use some water, all right? You know, numerous times I thought I'd catch my beard on fire, but, you know, that's the only time I want to be baptized with water. You can dunk me, throw me in, whatever. But baptism is also the suffering of Christ. That's another definition of baptism, the suffering of Christ. So we need to keep that in mind as well. We are a love gift to the Son. John 17:9 says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Jesus says here, he's praying for me. You know, that's another, you know, that's just maybe unfathomable. It's unbelievable. Jesus Christ is praying for, you know, Mike. Yeah, good. Isn't that great? Amen. You know, he loves you enough. He says here, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Well, you know what? When I got saved, I'm God, so therefore Jesus Christ is praying for me. And he's praying for each and every one of you who is saved. That's a fantastic thing. When Jesus Christ said on the cross, Father, forgive them. These are the people that just put him to death. And he says, Father, forgive them. And not only does God hear Jesus' prayer, but he listens and answers. So it's a pretty important part of it. The number 16 is, we are buried with Christ. Colossians 2:10-12. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. In Romans 6:4 it says, therefore we are buried with him. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And again, the baptism meaning the suffering of Christ. You know, and again, I don't like to change words, but just listen to the sentence. Therefore, we are buried with him by the suffering of Christ. That kind of does make a little sense there, more than, by water, you know. Therefore, you know, a lot of those Acts 2:38 people. You know, there's a church right down in Indianapolis that's called the Acts 2:38 church. I mean, big sign, Acts 2:38. I was thought that was kind of humorous. So I guess they believed the other part about the water. But, you know, therefore we are buried with him by water unto death. You know, that's what they want you to believe. That's what they think. But, you know, it's the suffering of Christ. You know, therefore we are buried with him by the suffering of Christ into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Number 17 is we are indwelt. We are indwelt by Christ. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You know, that's a funny little word to throw in there. We, it said. It said we. Now that's one that, boy, okay, wait a minute. And that right away that made me think of that elephant and the mouse. The mouse riding on the back of an elephant, they go running over a bridge, and then I get on the other side and the mouse says, wow, we really shook that bridge, didn't we? Well, no, the mouse had nothing to do with it. You know, the elephant and the mouse. I mean, I don't know if you've all heard that story before or whatever, but this is we. Maybe we're on the back of Jesus Christ, but we are so minuscule, we're so much of it, we're that mouse on the back of that elephant. We're nothing. But yet we can still say we. Hey, we shook that bridge. You know what? We. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's Jesus Christ talking, and he's talking about me there. That we is me. That we is you and you and you. That's a wonderful thing. So we are indwelt by Christ. The 18th thing is we possess eternal life. We possess eternal life. John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The moment you get saved, boom, split second, you've just now attained eternal life. We are saved by Christ. Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we are saved by Christ. Number 20 is we have peace with God. We have peace. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. We don't understand it. But does anybody in here believe that right now that God is up in heaven? Oh boy, Obama. Oh man, that guy's really messing stuff up. You know, I wasn't planning it. You know, God's not worried. Excuse me. He's not worried about all the stupid stuff going on in this world. He's concerned about it. He probably weeps over it because it would break my heart if I created something and they started doing all this kind of wicked stuff and everything else. But we can have that peace. We can't just have it. We have it. How you take it is another thing. We have the peace, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. It's a great peace. We need to use it a little bit more, because too often we get worried. We wring our hands over the things of this earth. We don't need to, because we have that peace. Number 21, we become a friend of God. John 15:15. Today's the 15th, February 15, too. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. We become a friend of God. 22nd thing is, we have our name recorded in the book of life in heaven. That's that song we have. All right. If we have time, we'll sing a song. Luke 10:20 says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Because your name is written in heaven. The moment you get saved, you know, it's got to be an instantaneous thing, because if you got saved and passed away, well, your name is already written there. So as you're getting saved, your name is being written in heaven. Philippians 4:3 says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboreth with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. 23rd thing is, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You know, and Mike Bartleman and I, you know, we got into a lot of discussions, you know, about this kingdom of heaven and stuff. Even at the nursing home, and then he was texting me later on. You know, I'll tell you, I don't know that it's right or wrong. You know, some of the stuff I'm saying, well, wait a minute. But you know what? It was a healthy conversation. It was a healthy thing to be debating this stuff, and that's a good thing. You know, some people probably, you know, look at it and say, well, no, you shouldn't be argumentative. Well, you know what? It wasn't. It was trying to find out the facts. And then I probably bugged Paul for hours about it too and different things. But you know what? This is one of those. Now, where was I going with that? I believe, you know, somehow or other. Now, I know this can't be exactly, you know, I don't know. I'm seated with Christ in heaven right now. I don't get it. I don't know. Yeah, that's the spiritual part, you know. But that's what it says. Because it says that, I believe it. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's a great thing. So, all right, number 24, we receive a blessed hope. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is that blessed hope. So we have that blessed hope. And some people seem to be without hope. People in this world are without hope. People that don't believe are without hope. But we have it. We receive a blessed hope. 25 is, we come in fellowship with the Trinity. 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Again, that other word was we. This one is us. Well, us who? Okay? That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So we have the Trinity. We have the Father. We have the Son. We have the Holy Spirit. We have a mansion prepared in glory. John 14:2, in my Father's house are many rooms. You know, I know there's a version out there that says many rooms. Oh man, I'm lucky because my Bible gives us a mansion, and boy, I'm thankful for that. So in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You know, and this becomes ours the moment we receive Christ. You know, I see a lot of these ads. You know, I like, you know, well, actually, what was it? The corn bin, grain bin house, mini house, micro house. I like looking at all that stuff. I'm thinking, you know, I could live in that. You know, I could easily live in a little tiny shed. You know, Emma lives in a shed, or, you know, I want to build this grain bin house someday. Maybe I will. But it's still nice to know that once we're gone from here, we'll have a mansion. So we have that the moment you get saved. Now, that was in relation to God and Jesus Christ, but now in relation to God, the Holy Spirit, we are born again. John 3:3-7 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And again, this is not water baptism. This is not part of that. The 28th thing is, we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. It abideth in you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And you know, that's true now too, because numerous times when you need it, God gives you it. God gives you the message. God gives you the word. He gives you something all of a sudden when you're just kind of lost or having a bad day, and maybe God brings you a note of peace. And John 16:13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. 29th is, we are sealed by the Holy Ghost. We're sealed by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, after you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. The 30th thing is, our body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. Our body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So, you know, and again, I mean, this is probably the one reasoning people say, well, you know, my body is a temple. You know, I will not defile it with this or that. Or, oh, man, I got to be careful. Twinkies probably are on that list. But you know what? But, you know, and well, I guess I should say that because it would. But now can you say, oh, yeah, it's okay to smoke. Oh, you know, it's okay to drink. Yeah, you know, no, because your body really is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 31st thing is, we are given spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit. If we could turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. We are given spiritual gifts. And I got thinking about this quite a bit because, you know, we're given these spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit. We're actually given gifts whether you're saved or lost. You're given gifts. All right? You got gifts that you can use or abuse, I guess it is. But starting in verse 1 there, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. These are all gifts that we can have. We have these gifts. And again, we don't necessarily have each and every one, but you've got some of these. And now it's how do you use that? To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, Where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. You know, this is going on, and of course, I mean, we all understand and know that the part about the tongues and whatever was to the Jews, it was a sign. It is not, it's used by Satan now, is basically what it is. And that goes into 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 6. I won't go into that now because we pretty much understand that. But what this 1 Corinthians 12 is saying is, you know, basically, you got a big mouth, use it for the Lord. You got a big set of feet, use it for the Lord. You know, maybe you're just quiet and reserved, yet you got a big wallet, use it for the Lord. What is your gift? What's your gift? And it's saying that that should be used for the Lord. The next thing is, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy 1:14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So now, one quick last thing here is in relation to you, the recipient. We talked about as how it, in relation to God, in relation to Jesus Christ, in relation to the Holy Spirit, but we also in relation to you, the recipient. And the first thing with that is, we are forgiven. Luke 7:48, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. You know, the moment you get saved, your sins are forgiven. You know, and again, Mike was going into that, you know, it's not like, you know, Joel, the missionary, was going into the forgiveness and seeking repentance and asking for forgiveness. But the moment you get saved, your sins are forgiven. Jesus Christ said, thy sins are forgiven. Number 34 is we are justified. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The 35th thing is, we are redeemed. Revelation 5:9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And 1 Peter 1 says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So you're not redeemed with the corruptible things. We're redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ at the moment you get saved. But we also have an advocate. We have an attorney for the defense that's appointed to you. You know, if you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed to you without cost. Well, you know what? I have an attorney, and he's been appointed to me without cost, except the cost was his death on Calvary. But we have an attorney for the defense. And it says in 1 John 2:1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, ye have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." 37th thing is, we have the possibility of getting victory over sin. Romans 6:1-2. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Romans 6:6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And in Romans 6:11, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, it says in Romans, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." We don't have to live under this sin. And again, there's numerous different, things about this, and some people argue the point and whatever, but we don't have to live under that sin, because God has given us that victory over sin through Jesus Christ. And the last thing is, we become an ambassador for Christ. See, it wasn't too bad. 38 things. We become an ambassador for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." I could stop right there. "As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Are ye a good ambassador? You watch these cop movies. I like watching cop movies, and it's almost always, the diplomatic immunity guy. He does something wrong, and then he can't get arrested for it. Oh, that always ticks off a cop. I should be able to get that guy. Well, you know what? Are you that kind of a diplomat? Are you that kind of an ambassador? For Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ, but what are you putting out? What are you saying? What are you telling other people about? We need to speak out for Christ. We're going to actually sing a song. I don't think Tess knew that. Hey, Jake, come here. Come on up, Ange. And maybe you all heard it before. Then we'll just close with this. I don't know which one I was thinking of first, actually, the message or the song brought the message, but there you go. I think you have to be over here so I can hear you. "The moment I knelt down upon my knees in prayer was the moment a beggar became a rightful heir. He came to live within this heart of mine, and he filled me with glory divine. And it happened that very moment that he saved my soul. My name is recorded in the book of life in heaven. My sins are washed away by the blood of Calvary. Since the day that the blood was applied, forever I stand justified. And it happened that very moment that he saved my soul. I'll never get over that grace so rich and free. The more that I live, the more it amazes me how that in one moment of time all the joys of heaven then became mine. And it happened that very moment that he saved my soul. My name is recorded in the book of life in heaven. My sins are washed away by the blood of Calvary. Since the day that the blood was applied, forever I stand justified. And it happened that very moment that he saved my soul. And it happened that very moment that he saved my soul. Amen. All right. Well, that song kind of just wraps it up, I guess. You know, that was, again, I don't know which one came first there, which one I was thinking of first. But you know what? It's a wonderful thing. It just, and I'm sure, you know what? Maybe I'm hoping you all thought of a few others out there, because there's more things that happen at that very moment when he saved our souls. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again, Lord, just for allowing us to be here. And Lord, I basically just came up here and read stuff out of your book, but boy, Lord, that's a blessing. And I thank you for giving it to us and just help us to understand this better. It happened at the moment that I got saved, Lord, and boy, you gave me a lot. And I just don't give enough to you. There's other songs we could sing about us not giving enough back to you. So help us go out through this week and just to give more back to you. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.